The following is a presentation of the American College of Osteopathic Internists.
Welcome to the 2017 Internal Medicine Board Review Course, sponsored by the American College of Osteopathic Internists. The course was held March 22nd through 26th, 2017, at the JW Marriott Las Vegas Resort and Spa. The course featured nationally known speakers presenting a wide variety of topics of interest to the internist preparing for certification or recertification in the specialty of internal medicine. GI Board Review Questions is presented by Dr. Jack Bragg and Dr. Catherine Kirchin.
Which of the following does not affect the stomach? Ulcerative colitis. I just talked about gastric cancer. When the motility of the stomach fails, the term describing that failure is which? Gastroparesis. Unusually large gastric folds are found in which of the following? Atrophic gastritis, NSAID ulcers, menetriers, upper GI bleeding. Atrophic gastritis, remember, it's where there's no folds, the mucosa is thin. Menetriers is one of the diseases that presents with large gastric folds along with some of the hypersecretory states. Which of the following is true of ulcerative colitis? It's transmural, it only involves the colon. Colon cancer is not a long-term risk, doesn't respond to steroids. Excellent. Which of the following medicines can be used to treat Crohn's disease? Corticosteroids, immunosuppressants, biologics, all three. Good job. Which of the following conditions can affect the colon? Ischemia, organ failure, idiopathic fibrosis, celiac disease. Is that mine or yours? I don't remember talking about that. I don't think we talked about ischemia. I didn't. 21-year-old female presents to the ER with a food bolus. She states this has occurred previously, but she is usually able to advance the food with fluid. On an EGD, you notice whitish plaques. Ah, that one's yours.
Okay. So which would help confirm the diagnosis? Trial proton pump inhibitors, 15 eosinophils per high-powered field on esophageal biopsies, manometry results showing high amplitude contractions or upper GI x-ray showing dilated esophagus and tight lower esophageal sphincter. What's the best answer? Good. So we're trying to get eosinophilic esophagitis, 15 eosinophils per high-powered field on esophageal biopsies. Good. A 40-year-old female is seen for a one-year history of reflux symptoms. She complains of heartburn and regurgitation several times a week. She has tried lifestyle changes and PPI up to BID with minimal relief. She has occasional solid food dysphagia, physical exam. Vital signs are normal and BMI is 35. Which of the following is the most appropriate next step in management? So endoscopy, so she's not responding to treatment as you'd expect, so do an endoscopy, so good. 65-year-old, now I can see why they wanted less than 300 characters here. I tried to do board type questions, I didn't realize it didn't fit on this very well. A 65-year-old female with a history of ALS is evaluated for a 1-month history of difficulty swallowing. She experiences choking and coughing while swallowing solids or liquids and has intermittent nasal regurgitation of liquids. She has a recent history of pneumonia. On physical exam, vital signs are normal. She has tongue fasciculations and jaw clonus, and there's weakness of the masseter and pterygoid muscles, which of the following is the most appropriate initial test? So good, we're getting at oropharyngeal dysphagia, and what's the treatment for that? Video fluoroscopy, good. A 22-year-old female with a history of type 1 diabetes presents with nausea, weight loss, and diarrhea. She has had an EGD, and the duodenum has a flattening of the mucosa with scalloping appearance. What antibody test will help confirm her diagnosis? H. pylori, hepatitis B, IgG, tissue transglutaminase, the antibody, serum IgA. So tissue transglutaminase, antibody, we see an association between celiac disease and type 1 diabetes, so keep that in mind also. 35-year-old female presents for a second opinion concerning irritable bowel syndrome. 2 years ago, she was in Mexico and had severe diarrhea that got better with antibiotics. Since then, she's had increased abdominal bloating, cramping, and diarrhea after eating. She keeps the food diary. Symptoms are worse with yogurt, pizza, and ice cream. Likely diagnosis. Good. Secondary lactase deficiency. Oh. There's more? Okay.
This is back with me.
Two most common causes of acute pancreatitis are which?
Great. Nice job.
You hope they're all that easy.
For most people. Gallstones and alcohol. Which of the following is true regarding acute pancreatitis? Ranson's score is to determine. It's usually fatal. Hematocrit over 50 is good. Parenteral nutrition is usually necessary. Yes. Which of the following is true regarding chronic pancreatitis? Good. That's yours.
Okay. Which of the following is true concerning non-alcoholic steatohepatitis? Hepatomegaly is present in the majority of patients. AST to ALT ratio is 2:3:1. Most patients have a pear-shaped body hepatitis. Obese people should be placed on a rapid weight loss program such as Optifast. Presence of Mallory bias suggests the patient is lying about alcohol consumption. Which of the following is true? Hepatomegaly is present in most patients. So rapid weight loss can be at risk factor for fatty liver. So something like Optifast is not a good thing. And most patients are apple-shaped, not pear-shaped. And the ratio is for alcoholic hepatitis, the 2:3:1. I was trying to think what they were. An 18-year-old presents to the psychiatric floor with acute psychosis. The physician consults you for increased liver function tests. You have an eye exam done and find Kaiser Fletcher rings. The patient most likely has what diagnosis? Good. Yeah. Any of you that are taking the exam, it's not that easy. So. A 25-year-old male presents with abnormal liver tests for greater than 6 months. He denies bleeding, anorexia, weight loss, or prior medical problems. He admits to occasional loose stools. Past medical history is negative. Physical exam is normal. BMI is 20. Labs show an alkaline phosphatase of 264. ALT is 62. Hemoglobin 12.3. Hematocrit of 73. Ultrasound is normal. Colonoscopy is normal. What's the most appropriate next step? ANA, MRCP, liver biopsy, CT scan, tissue transglutaminase, antibody. Tissue transglutaminase, antibody. Don't forget the association of a young person, microcytic anemia, think celiac brew. So then you'd want to do a biopsy of the small bowel. I don't know if this is mine. Oh, 39-year-old female is evaluated for 1 day history of generalized abdominal pain. 1 week ago, she underwent laparoscopic Roux-en-Y for obesity. She had an uncomplicated cholecystectomy 2 years ago. On physical exam, she's afebrile, blood pressure is normal, pulse is elevated at 130, respirs at 12, BMI is 46, bowel sounds normal. There's diffuse abdominal tenderness, but no guarding or rebound. Lab is normal, plain x-ray is normal, which is the most appropriate next step in management? CT, angio, emergent surgical exploration, upper endoscopy, upper GI contrast radiograph. Upper GI, so you're worried about anastomotic leak in that patient.
Most common type of cancer in the stomach is? Yes. Good job. Adenocarcinoma of the pancreas has a poor prognosis because of which? No known risk factors, symptoms are advanced by the time of diagnosis, no surgical treatment. The tight serosa around the pancreas makes diagnosis difficult. Nobody should say that answer. Symptoms are advanced. Which of the following is untrue about colorectal cancer? It develops from adenomatous polyps. Age 50 and above is a risk factor. Removing polyps has not been shown to prevent colon cancer. No, there's a genetic component to it. Removing colon polyps has not been shown to prevent cancer. That is false. Untrue.